Hello, and welcome back to Talent Talks, the podcast for creatives who are building with intention, not just momentum. And this week's episode is called When Visibility Isn't Safety, Finding Your Voice Without Losing Yourself. And it made me think a lot about the emotional cost of visibility. You know that feeling when people are like, just post it, or you need to show up online more, interact more, but your nervous system says, maybe I'm not ready for this and I should make a plan? Well, you're not alone. In fact, studies by Mental Health UK show that 4 in 5 small business owners report experiencing poor mental health symptoms, including significant anxiety, often tied to their online presence. So that feeling isn't just you, it's a shared struggle. Sometimes we're encouraged and gassed up to post everything at once, but that little voice in the back of our head says, I'm not actually clear on what my messaging is or how I want to show up online. And beneath it all, it might be that quiet fear that says, what if I give this everything and it still doesn't work? As you can probably tell already, this episode isn't a pep talk. It's an honest talk about what it takes to stay visible while still being authentic. And in this episode, we'll cover why visibility isn't neutral, especially for marginalized individuals, how to spot the difference between surface-level hype and real voice work, how to make peace with the identity crisis that comes from when you're in between success, and how to keep showing up without losing yourself to the noise. Let's get into it. Do you ever feel like visibility kind of feels like exposure? It kind of gets treated like a one-size-fits-all cure. Post more, show your face more, be more consistent. But for many people, especially folks with trauma or marginalized identities or even just people-pleasing tendencies, like myself, visibility can feel like emotional exposure. That nervous system ping when you hit post. That sense of being watched but not yet supported by a community. It's not just paranoia, it's pattern recognition, because we've all seen what happens when people get visible before they're ready or without a support structure underneath. Think about the public figures or even small content creators who faced immense backlash or cancellation or online harassment because they've shared before they had clear boundaries or a solid support system in place. It's not just celebrities like Justin Bieber or Taylor Swift who've experienced the dark side of being suddenly exposed online, but it can also be the local artisan whose well-intentioned post was misinterpreted, leading to a flood of negative comments they weren't prepared for. Their stories aren't meant to scare you, but to serve as a reminder that visibility without safety protocols in place is a high-risk gamble. So before we get into talking about how to build your voice, I want you to ask yourself, what does safety look like to you in your visibility, and what are your non-negotiables? Speaking of non-negotiables, let's do an action item, defining your visibility non-negotiables. This isn't abstract either. For me, it looks exactly like I will not engage with comments after 7 p.m. specifically for KO Creative Agency, or I will always have a trusted friend review sensitive content before it goes live. Or my personal favorite, I will never respond to a negative comment in the moment, I'll wait 24 hours and revisit it then. Take a moment to define your top 3 visibility non-negotiables and write them down. These are your personal safety net plans for the digital world. And not everything needs to be said in public to be valid. Private clarity can still be equally as powerful. So, what's the difference between being gassed up and having a grounded voice? And it's a trap that I've fallen into before and seen online coaches fall into. It's where they start gassing people up without helping them find some grounded footing first. It's common phrases like, you're amazing, or just go for it, or don't dim your light, without tangible action items to kind of help them shift into that space or create a solid foundation. And when you don't really know what your light is yet or how you want to show up in the digital world, all of that hype kind of becomes noise, not nourishment. It's like being told, just run a marathon, when you haven't even tied your shoes or trained at all. In my experience, some of the best relationships and people I have appreciated and valued the most were the ones that took the time to tell me that my idea sucked and how I could make it better. They taught me that building a voice isn't about being loud, it's about being clear with my messaging and how I want to show up. I call it the three C's. It's about consistency, congruency, and connection, especially with yourself first. A truly grounded voice that I really like is Brené Brown, especially when it comes to her sharing her vulnerability research. Her work has impacted millions globally because it's clear, consistent, and deeply rooted in her values and rigorous research. Another example I like is Seth Godin and his concise insights on marketing. He's not loud per se, but he's incredibly clear and consistent in his messaging about permission marketing and serving your tribe. Something these examples have in common is that they aren't built on fleeting trends, but on foundational self-knowledge. So ask yourself, is what I'm saying online something I'd say to a room of peers I respect? Can I stand by it next week, next year? Does it reflect my values or just my fear of being invisible? Because confidence isn't something you fake until you make it. It's something that you clarify and then protect. All right, guys, it's time for another action item. I'm trying out a slightly different format this podcast, so please comment, let me know if you like it, if you dislike it, and what you'd like to see. So for this action item, it is called Clarify and Protect Your Voice. So to clarify your voice, I want you to think of this. What's one thing you're absolutely not willing to compromise in your business or in your creative work? For example, this could be your ethical stance, your pricing philosophy, or the type of client you refuse to work with. A more recent and painful lesson for me was to refuse working with clients that didn't do at least 4 out of the 5 things they said they would in the first month of working together. Too many times I've fallen into the trap of really liking the client or feeling like the project had a lot of potential, but the owner was maybe just a bit too sparse or all over the place and needed a helping hand. Not anymore. If they don't do what they said they would do, or at least 4 out of the 5 things they clearly stated in the first month, or didn't communicate that they weren't going to do those things adequately, it's a hard no for me. After you find your action item, actively protect that clarity. Say no to opportunities that don't align and unfollow accounts that make you feel less clear on that type of clarity. As you say no to more of these opportunities that don't align, I think it also strengthens your intuition. So starting is the hardest, but it gets easier as you go on. Remember, this isn't about being rigid, it's about building a robust filter for your authentic self. Next up, I want to talk about the quiet identity crisis. The thought that says, what if I give this everything and it still doesn't work out? It's the question that I hear in the pauses when I talk to clients, or the breath people take before they send me their about page. It's that nervousness behind their first launch or first product, service, whatever it is. And it's not irrational. Most of us have been taught to neatly wrap up our self-worth in the form of best-selling products, services, or even how we present ourselves online. So if the work doesn't get applause, money, or likes, a type of validation, if you will, then what? Who are you if your offer flops? If the algorithm tanks your reach? If no one buys the thing that you poured your soul into? I know that's scary, and I'm here to tell you that failure is data, not destiny. It's one of the hardest truths I've had to swallow, and this data kind of helped. Around 45% of small businesses fail within their first 5 years. I know, that's crazy. And common reasons include running out of cash, no market need, or poor marketing strategy. But this statistic doesn't tell the full story. Many of these quote-unquote failures are actually pivots, learning experiences, or founders moving on to something new with valuable insights. In all honesty, the idea that failure is a final judgment is a total myth. Look at someone like Vera Wang. She didn't become a globally recognized fashion designer until she was 40, after failing to make the Olympic figure skating team and not getting an editor-in-chief position at Vogue. Her quote-unquote failures were just data points leading her to her true calling in bridal couture. Failure is proof that your voice is not unworthy. It's proof that you tried. It's a statistic, not a death sentence. And if your identity doesn't disappear just because your strategy needed a pivot, that's good. You're allowed to rebuild, you're allowed to revise, and you're allowed rest when you do all this. Next up, another action item. This one is called detaching worth from work and is one of my personal favorites that I tried out the week before this podcast went live. So when your work flops, if it does or when it does, in any way, instead of asking, who am I? Try asking, what did I learn about this strategy? What did I learn about my audience? And what did I learn about my resilience? I want you to shift the focus from self-judgment to data collection. Try taking a more omniscient stance on whatever you're looking at so you're not so close to the problem, if you will. Then dedicate 15 minutes to do something completely unrelated to your work that reminds you of who you are outside of your business. Whether it's sketching, listening to music, going for a walk, this practice helps you recenter your identity. So for example, I recently launched a product that I thought was going to do really well and resonate with my audience, and it just didn't. So I took some time to kind of reflect on what I learned about the strategy, what I learned about my audience, which is they didn't want this type of product, and how I could have better marketed it towards a group that actually would. And after that, I did something completely unrelated with work, and it was great. I like to paint, so I did some painting, and then I went to go check the waves, and I had a little surf. And I felt really recharged. I reminded myself who I was outside of my work, and overall, I just felt more balanced and able to look at this problem with more clear eyes, if you will. So, this week, instead of pushing for more visibility, try asking yourself, what's the voice I can come home to? What's the part of me that still feels true, even if no one claps? Full disclaimer, this voice might not be the loudest, at least it isn't or wasn't for me, and it was really soft, private, slow to surface, but remember that it is uniquely yours, and that makes it worth nurturing. Think about someone like Emily McDowell, the founder of Emily McDowell and Friends. Her early work, particularly her empathy cards, resonated because they were honest, vulnerable, and specific to her personal experience with illness, even if they weren't designed to be loud or go viral. She built an entire multi-million dollar brand around relatable honesty and a voice that felt true, not performative. And from that place, you can build anything. Because clarity isn't loud, it's loyal. And the most powerful visibility starts with self-trust. We're on to our next action item, our next and our last action item of this episode, and it is called a no-output creative time. This upcoming week, I challenge you to schedule 10 minutes of no-output creative time. This isn't for posting, planning, or strategizing. It's just for listening to that quiet, true voice. Sit down in whatever environment you feel like is comfortable. Don't touch your phone for 10 minutes and just see what comes up. What thoughts surface when you're not trying to produce anything? What feels authentically you in that silence? This is the voice that you can always come home to. And it's from that place that true self-trust and powerful visibility emerges. So if you're in that weird in-between limbo space right now, not quite confident, not quite hidden, let this be a reminder. You don't need to shout, and you don't need to be everywhere all at once. And you also don't need to be fearless. You just have to be honest, and be honest with yourself first. From there, you can build a voice that feels like home and not a performative costume. As always, this episode was brought to you by KO Creative Agency, where we help creatives build messaging that feels like them, not a marketing bro in disguise. We've got free and paid tools to help you clarify your voice and stay true to yourself, even when visibility gets weird. Try our new Marketing Clarity and Messaging Kit, a Canva-based clarity tool with an interactive audit, brand language builder, and real-time guidance based on your answers, to help you find your words without faking the vibe. Think professional branding at a more palatable coffee shop price. You can try it today via the link in the show notes. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll see you next time on Talent Talks.